Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I am not going to lie, this episode's guest, Scott Grace, kept me on my toes. Between him introducing himself through poetry and then pulling out his guitar in the middle and singing me a little song, well, I've never seen anything like it. And that's the reason that I kind of love it. Now, Scott is known by many things. He's a mindful masculinity coach. He's an author. He's a comedian. He's obviously an entertainer, but he's also known as the spiritual Dr. Seuss. And, you know, I say that, and automatically, you think poetry, right? And you're not wrong. Like I said before, he finishes the episode out with poetry as well. But what Scott is saying through these poems and how he's doing it, well, that's where the magic lies. And that's kind of where the miracle is, because his poems are distilled, potent, beautiful, reminiscings, musings, sharings that might just alter the way you view the world. Now, on his website, he does say that Scott Grace has been described as a cross between John Denver, Robin Williams, and Dr. Seuss, and is wanted by the authorities for creating the piece as well as defying the law of gravity with levity. So here we go. Here's another episode of the podcast, and you'll hear me try to keep up with Scott. And I was more or less successful, but I'll let you be the judges of that. Here's Scott Grace.
I said to the universe, I want help. I do not want to lift these heavy weights and take them on the train, go back to New York City. I refuse to believe anymore that God wants me to lift these heavy weights, that if there's any reason, like it must be coming from a sense of unworthiness that I struggle this hard. Not everyone struggles so much. Question. I'm sure your podcasts are never boring if you ask that question. I would say this, one story leading to one of the poems. So I'm going to guess it's about 20 years ago. I lived in California, but I went to the East Coast every May, spent 4 to 6 weeks touring up and down. At that point, I was writing, selling books and CDs. And so my suitcases were filled not just with clothes and toiletries, but with books and CDs. And I was getting older, you know, like I used to travel with public transportation and it was getting harder and harder. So I was looking forward to selling a lot of my stuff the first weekend, which I co-created, co-facilitated a weekend workshop with my friends Joyce and Barry Vassell, relationships. And so for once in 25 years, I didn't sell much at all. And so I on Monday morning, everybody's getting ready to leave. I packed my bags and I picked them up. And there was something inside me that said, you can't do this anymore. Just no more. And I said to the universe, I want help. I do not want to lift these heavy weights and take them on the train, go back to New York City. I refuse to believe anymore that God wants me to lift these heavy weights, that if there's any reason, like it must be coming from a sense of unworthiness that I struggle this hard. Not everyone struggles so much. So I said, okay, I don't know how it's going to happen, but get me to New York City without me having to hurt my back. Boom, released it, sent it to the universe. Walked into the workshop. People are saying goodbye and getting ready for our last session. And somebody just casually comes up to me and says, so where are you off to next, Scott? And I said, New York City. He said, oh, that's interesting. Where in New York City? And I said, Midtown 66, West Side 66, between Columbus and Amsterdam. And he said, what? That's where we live. That's where we're going. And I said, in a car? And he said, yeah. You know, do you want a lift? I'm like, please? Not only did he give me a lift, but he took the bags and put them in his trunk. And he lived in the same building as where I was going. And he took the bags and took them to the door. So from that experience, I had... I was inspired to write another Dr. Seuss poem. I had written about four since my daughter was born, and I had been reading her Dr. Seuss, and I started thinking like Dr. Seuss, and then I realized these are pretty profound rhymes. This is not your typical Dr. Seuss, and I went to the computer, and I over a period of years, wrote at that point four, and this next one I think is my all-time favorite. And it came out of that experience of dropping my bags, trusting the universe, and letting myself be carried to my highest good. So get in your pajamas. Let's gather and snuggle. And I'll tell you a story. The story of struggle. Begins at a time before struggle began, in a garden called Easy, where all things were grand. The people who tended the garden had fun. They prospered and played and got lots of things done. One day, two plain folks, call them Adam and Eve, went under their covers with shame and some leaves. And then came the blame game, the who cut the cheese? Was it Eve or a snake or the wrong choice of trees? The day-to-day play, all the joy they were given, gave way to the sense we must work for a living. And God did reply, kids, you gotta be hidden. Everything you could want is right here, not forbidden. But they could not receive the good news. They thought that to play they must first pay their dues. By the sweat of thy brow we must now earn our bread. They didn't know the gluten had gone to their heads. Then they passed this confusion right on to their kids, hiding their loins with more leaves from more figs, teaching their offspring original sin, who then passed it off to their nextest of kin. They made their cause noble. They justified pain. To suffer's God's will. No pain means no gain. And if you have struggled through life unabated, when you croak, your rewards card will be activated. That's when you cash in all your hard sacrifices and rest up in heaven with the rest of the righteous. And so, human beings, we assumed the position of forgetting God's love didn't come with conditions. We dreamed up a God with a list of demands, with rules and with judgments and a whip in his hands. And over the seas came the pure Puritans to spread the work ethic all over the land. the pleasures of life must not ever be trusted. If you dare enjoy sex, you're eternally busted. God sits on a cloud with his only son, and they both wear a frown if you have too much fun. But if you can grab a bull by its horns, well, then God is pleased and might send less shitstorms. And then on your tomb, your tribute will say, she worked hard for the money and toiled each day. She played by the rules, never did make a scene. And here lies his body along with his dreams. Most folks are not dead yet, just taking a snooze, asleep at the wheel, driven by their to-dos. The average adult has a list that won't stop, and to be who you are is just not near the top. But when your to-bes become priorities, you could fly through to-dos with the greatest of ease. But if your to-dos make to-bes disappear, you get caught in to-do-dos right up to your ears. So what is this thing called struggling? Allow me to define it, this world-famous thing. It's trying and trying and trying so hard with your own ego's strength that is no match for God's. You're doing your best, and it's very courageous. But I'll do it myself is not self-advantageous. Yet when you join hands with the powers that be, your source takes the lead, and she leads you for free. By now, are you thinking, enough is enough. There's life beyond struggle. I just gotta trust. Well, woohoo! You're ready to drop that belief and reclaim what's under your famous fig leaf. Because under your cover, there's nothing to hide. That slippery serpent's been speaking some jive. We don't work for a living. We're already alive. We're not human doings. We're beings born to thrive. So take out your cell phone to send out a text to your family, your friends, all your loved nervous wrecks, and tell them their nerves need no longer be taxed. They can travel downstream and be much more relaxed. And if they say, hey, that just makes me afraid, because lazy don't pay me, there's bills to be paid, let them see easy does it's been working for you, that your life has your back and your trust sees you through. And if they say, no way, Jose, that's just fine. Not everyone's hip to the trip, they're divine. But everyone gets there in their own sweet time. And you help them the most by staying aligned. I'm staying aligned, staying aligned. I'm staying aligned. Don't worry, we're almost done. And so, when your isness becomes your main business, you feel just like Santa the eve before Christmas. So much to give and so much to receive. And it happens as easy as breath when you breathe. Because the breath breathes itself with no push and no shove. So goes your life when you know that you're loved. And if you work hard and do work up a sweat, it's only because you so love getting wet. Because when you're inspired, you follow your bliss. Even when you perspire, it feels effortless, like the work that you're doing is being through you, and you're thrilled to be letting the universe do you. Please email this poem, although some will delete it, and post it on Facebook and on Twitter, tweet it. Because millions are ready to hear the good news that struggle is a choice that you don't have to choose. And struggle-free living, oh, how we love it. We flow down the stream on the boat, easy does it. And easy does do it. We find out at last. We don't stop at the tolls. We just use easy path. I've one final message, and then I must go. You can't give up struggle completely, you know. There are rites of passages, powerful rites, where struggle's a part of you birthing more life. I tried reading this poem to a woman in labor. She said, out of my face, don't do me no favors. Our struggles are sometimes endearingly human. They spice up our life like fresh garlic or cumin. I gotta get go now. I'm feeling spent. But let's sacrifice struggle this Easter for Lent. Or just do it now. Why procrastinate when the garden of ease is our natural state? It's been waiting with patience, and it's well worth the wait. The garden of ease is our natural state. It's everyone's birthright and everyone's fate. The garden of ease. It's our natural state.
So how did you really think I did? I tried to keep up, but I don't think I was entirely successful. And I think that's because Scott is so his own individual human being, so his own person, so filled with creativity, and is so smart and inspired that I think it would take an act of God for someone to truly keep up with him. Now, as I said, all the links to Scott's various inspirings and fabulosity will be in the episode show notes. And there's a really sweet Easter egg at the end of this where I kind of inspire Scott. And I feel really good about myself and I'm giving myself a pat on the back. It's not every day that we learn a new word, and so I'm trying to sprinkle it in as much as possible. I'll let you listen to the Easter egg to figure out which word that is, but until then, please do check out Scott's work, who he is in the world, and how he's leading the way to inspire others all across the globe. Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for meeting and spending the time with yet another incredible human being who's creating positive change in this world. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Scott. I mean, be your own unique self. Be who you are. Bring beauty to the world. Bring mayhem to the world. Bring poetry to the world. Bring improv to the world. Bring problem solving to the world. Bring hope to the world. Because honestly, I think Scott is doing all of this and more. You don't have to do all of it, of course, but bring something fabulous to the world. Give the world your fabulosity, your uniqueness, your inspired beauty. I'll see you next week for another episode of the podcast. Until then, I hope your world is filled with grace, with dancing that maybe doesn't hurt your knees, and with laughter with strangers who've already become your friends.
Are we still recording right now?
We finished, but I always hit record at the end. I do a lot of editing on my podcasts. So
I would just ask that we cover where people can get a hold of me.
Oh, find my books. Absolutely. Okay. Go for it.
So if anyone who's been touched by this would like to know more about me and stay connected to what I do, you can go to www.scottsongs.com, S-C-O-T-T-S-O-N-G-S.com. Read all about my offerings. As you scroll down the homepage, you'll see my books, and you can click on them. They'll take you to purchase. I would recommend the Audible for Mindful Masculinity. I add 3 hours of bonus music and poetry. So it's a big deal. And I think there's 8 hours of entertainment and inspiration. And that's all I got to say about it.
I love it.
And no, there's Facebook and there's YouTube, blah, yeah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I'll have links for all of that too in the show notes so people can click on through too to your YouTube and your fabulosities.
Thank you.
Oh, so, yeah.
Fabulosities. Is that a word?
I
like it.
I made it up.
Can I adopt it?
You may adopt it. Yes, 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 yes.
Fabulosity.
There you go.
Oh, it's like, it sounds a little bit to me like unforgettable. Like,
yeah.
Fabulosity in every way. Fabulosity, your show is great. Bite-sized blessings. It's incredible how simply unforgettable my time with Christian and her audience too.
Amazing. Oh, Scott, thank you. Thank you.
Amazing, Scott Grace.
That's right.
How sweet. How sweet.